only expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keeps truth forever, and never forsakes the works of his own hands. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from him that is, and that was, and that is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, which is the faithful witness, the first begotten of death, and the prince of all the kings of the earth. Amen. Let's continue our service by singing 378. The stanza 1 and 3. Give thanks to God, for good is he, his grace abideth ever. And third, he helped us in our deepest woes. 1 and 3, 378. Reading of the Holy Scriptures can be found in the letter of Paul to the Galatians, chapter 5, the verses 1 through 15. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1 through 15. Before the 12 articles are adopted Christian faith, and after the Lord's Day 11 of the Heidelberg Catechism.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. he descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Galatians 5. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law. Ye are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. I would they were even cut off which trouble you. For, brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Lord's Day 11, Question 29. Why is the Son of God called Jesus, that is, a Savior? Answer, because he hath saved us and delivereth us from our sins. and likewise because we ought not to seek, neither can find salvation in any other. Question 30. Do such then believe in Jesus, the only Savior, who seek their salvation and welfare of saints, of themselves or anywhere else? Answer. They do not, for though they boast of him in words, yet in deeds they deny Jesus, the only deliverer and Savior. For one of these two things must be true, that either Jesus is not a complete Savior, or that they, who by a true faith receive the Savior, must find all things in him necessary to their salvation.
Let's seek the face of the Lord in prayer. We beg thee for those who are near to death. Lord, remember those who are dying to meet thee. Although life is a daily dying, past never comes back. Yesterday is over. But we pray, Lord, that thou might give them grace who call upon thy name. We pray for my hope. The situation is not much better, but more grave. Lord, please embrace her to be embraced. Remember her in mercy. She thinks she has sinned too much and is worth not a penny. But show her that it's without price, without money, free. For those who have no money, no penny, then debt and guilt. Be with her, remember the family, taking care of her. Strengthen them in these hours. Have mercy upon them. Remember Malawi, and we pray again that thou will bless the help that's given them. But we pray that thou would rear young man to lead the country. Not always to look backwards to the spirits of the past, but unto thee who's risen for the future of glory. That thou would use the ministry of the ministers, elders there in those 200 or more congregations, gathering around the word, teach them. We pray for the families itself and for those who mourn because family members are drowned. Although I heard, Lord, that thou hast taken care of Malawi, that even in Zimbabwe and the other country around, there was a very strong blast, wind. But Lord, take care of those countries, and we know that in Mozambique there are 13 congregations without leader, without someone to teach them. And our church has said we have enough, but what's enough? We pray that thou would send some man, young man, old man, for the ministry of thy word to those people. Portuguese speaking. Lord, prepare them and hear their prayers. We pray for the church here in Canada and worldwide, those who adhere to the scriptures, and also those who don't adhere to the scriptures. Bring us back to thy word and apply it by thy spirit to our hearts. Have mercy upon us when we draw nigh into thy footstool and back for mercy. Open the scriptures and the doctrines of grace that we might really understand it. Give us the spirit to apply it to our hearts, thy spirit. For the letter kills, but the spirit makes alive. Remember those, and especially one of us who has to have a surgery this week, that he might commit his soul and body, his body and soul, into thy hands. Remember us in mercy, Lord. Remember those who came since a long time again in church. Be with her, that she might rest on thy shoulders alone, having nothing in themselves than sin, but set free, like we read, of liberty in thy dear Son. Remember us all in our needs, the sick and afflicted, those who suffer, those who are losing their strength, that thou mightest be their strength for time and eternity. Please, Lord, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Congregation, we deal with the Lord's Day 11. We dealt and we are dealing with the 12 articles of our undoubted Christian faith. And we have to deal today with the name Jesus. Jesus is Joshua in the Old Testament, and it means deliverer, he who makes room. It's not the first time in the Heidelberg Catechism that's spoken of him. The Lord's Day 5 is spoken of that mediator, our Lord Jesus Christ. But if you get to know him, God shows you more of him. And that's what the Catechism says. It speaks now about his names. His name and names were mentioned, as said already in Lord's Day 5. But then he reveals himself to the soul by faith and you have forgiveness of sins and eternal righteousness. But if you get to know him, Paul says, I need to know him more. That's what the Catechism deals with. Helen Brook does the same when he speaks about the names of the Lord Jesus, the offices. And the Heidelberg Catechism does the same. It speaks now first in the name Jesus, Yeshua, Hosea. It means, and I said it already, he who makes room, he who saves, says Matthew 1, the angel said it, God gave him a name. The Father gave him a name. And the angel said to Joseph, you will call him Jesus. For he will save his people from sin. He will take their sins away and bring them to salvation. That God is our salvation. He will bring them back to God, our Creator, for salvation's sake. So we deal now with the name Jesus. The name in the Bible is always the person. In the name is the person. Now our names are not always covering who we are. Your name might be John, having no grace. But you might be given the name John and having grace. Who was that? John the Baptist. His name was covering what he got. And when the Lord gives his Son a name, he is all saving Savior. God says his hands are saving hands. His heart is a saving heart. His love is saving love. His righteousness is the glory of his Father. All about him is saving grace. And therefore he's desirous for all the people of God. Well, we deal with the name Jesus, then that's his personal name. And then we come to Christ, Lord willing, next week. And that deals with his office names, the anointed. He is anointed to three offices, prophet, priest, and king. No, first his personal name, Jesus. I'm always afraid of saying Jesus, to be honest here. I always like better to say the Lord Jesus. He's God and man. But anyways, we deal with it this night. And I hope that God might apply it to your souls. Let's first sing 422, 5, 6, and 8. 422, 5, 6, and 8. Our blessed Lord, are they who know the joyful sound. And then 6, thou art a God of our boast. Thou art, O God, our boast, the glory of our power. And then 8, remember, Lord, how frail I am and what's following. congregation, if you look carefully to the Lord's Elf, especially question 29, the question is, why is the Son of God called Jesus, that is a Savior? It's strange, ultimately, now I read it for the first time, a Savior. Probably it should say the Savior. At least that's the content of the answer. The, not a, but the Savior, only one. But then it says, answer, because he saves us first, and then delivers us from our sins. It seems to be that he does two things. He saves us and delivers us from our sins. But let me have that question first. What is salvation? That God turned his wrath away and that we have and are restored in his communion. Therefore the Bible says this: God is our salvation. God is our salvation. It doesn't center out around me, although I need to be saved, brought to salvation. But in heaven, it's all centered, and in grace, it's all centered around God. He is the center of a true Christian. This God is our salvation. Is it? And therefore, he gives it. First, he is it. And then he applies it. He has made sin, my sin. He is raised from my judgment and sitting at the right hand of God the Father. Paul says, even in him, I entered already in heaven. He is it. Why do you say it? Some people only speak about what he gives. And ultimately, they are self-centered again. Me and my conversion. If God in Christ is your all in all, he is it. And I'm it no more. I died that I might live in and by him. Congregation, we always want to be center point. Things. Not Christ-centered, but Christian-centered. Now he saves us. He saves us. Brings us to that salvation. How? Well, it's clear. The answer is really clear. He delivers us from our sins. He takes our sins away. He sets us free from our sins. And congregation, he does it in a twofold way. In the first place, by merits. He merited my salvation. And secondly, he applies it. People might sometimes speak only about the merits of salvation of Christ. A meritor of my salvation. That's not enough. He needs to apply it to your soul. Therefore he's raised, that his righteousness should be applied by him, by his Spirit, by the preaching of his word, and the application of the Holy Ghost. You can eat, and you can see a lot of bread behind the window of a bakery. But if you don't have bread in your hands, you might say, nice bread, good bread, like that. But you have to eat it. You have to eat his body and to drink his blood. By faith, eh? Be a partaker of his sacrifice. And that's what he is doing by the application. So, and then he delivers you from 90% of your sins. If he applies himself to your soul, you're a new creature. All things are passed away. You're like Adam in paradise, as if you had never sinned, and even your evil nature is covered. For congregation, sin begins by the fountain of it. It's my heart. My soul. And therefore I act upon it. Not only acts, so to say it again, and I'm saying it again, you are sin. Therefore you act sins. Shortcomings, acts. I always, in my life, when God started to convict me, I thought, I'm acting along upon sins. I tried to restore it. Promised a lot. Have you done it? Lord, next time I'm doing better. But do you know what the Lord showed me? I fell deeper. Okay, said Lord, now I tried it again, and I'll try it, and one day I will make it. Luther says, I climbed on the stairs, and it was on the highest step. And there I fell, he said. Couldn't reach heaven. All my promises, lies. Do you know what happened to me, he said? I was embraced in the arms of the Lord Jesus. And he kissed me as his bridegroom. My bridegroom, and I was his bride. But if God teaches you that the well doesn't and isn't good, that starting, then God is starting to convict you that your salvation should be outside of yourself. You're starting to cry and to plead guilty, asking for mercy. Restoration is done. Reformation is over. But I don't need to be a reformed Christian, but a new man in Christ Jesus. And if there has any been happening in your spiritual life, you need to be converted day by day. Merit and application. It's not only the merits. He applies it by his word and spirit. And then he owns, he makes you to own it. To own your salvation. He is mine and I am his. And that love is better than the love of women. He is my all in all. And my dear congregation, he delivers us from our sins. How many? All. All. If one sin, therefore it says, by one sacrifice, he made perfect those who believe in him. Perfect. The spiritual man, perfect. I dealt with it this morning, but this evening we continued. If you're not perfect, you won't enter through the gate of righteousness. Outside are the dogs, the unclean. But those who are covered with the righteousness of Christ, with Christ himself, engrafted in him, are perfect in him, entering through the gates of righteousness, having peace with God. Might take 3 years before you come to the end of your rope. might take a year, a month, might take just a moment. Like the murderer at the cross. All the people of God always said that coming to the end of the law is sometimes by the sword cut. Then they said sometimes it's by hunger to die before you live. And Christ is revealed and applied to your soul. It's a struggle. I said last week, I think, that Brackel said, he said, sometimes it's like a drip of water that is dripping, dripping, dripping. And it makes ultimately a hole in the stone. Brackel said it. It's God's work of conviction. There might be even in the congregation some that say it's over with me. If it was over with you, he was immediately revealing himself to you. In the twinkling of an eye. Yes, some says Isaiah, some life in your hand still. Little it. For you say not, it's outside of hope. Pastor, stop preaching like that. I'm not doing it. I read that book of Hermes this week and I was so encouraged. 1753. Exact as it's preached in the Word. Christ revealed to the soul by the Holy Ghost in the way of His Word for full salvation to those who are lost. I was so encouraged, dear friend, for it seems to be a time that they all can accept Jesus, but they are never accepted by Jesus. Never revealed to their souls. Well, he delivers us from our sins. And if he does it, you don't need to seek it somewhere else. Why does the Catechism say this? Well, I read out of Galatians that they started to reintroduce the circumcision and the ceremonial law. In the Galatians, in the way of the congregations of Galatia. Galatia, the Gaulois, were French people living in Turkey. Gaulois means French. The Gaulois came from France. Galatians, people came from France. Business people, probably. Living in Minor Asia. Turkey today. And they were made known with the full salvation, the revelation of Christ into their souls for full salvation. But people came from the converted Jews. And they said, we have to reintroduce the ceremonial law, circumcision. But my dear congregation, why was circumcision given? And why was the ceremonial law given? Do you know? As a promise of the sacrifice of Jesus. It was the gospel of the Old Testament. So if you reintroduce the circumcision and the Old Testament sacrifices like Rome does, therefore the Pope is the high priest and the priests are sacrificing daily.
You denied the once and for all sacrifice, the perfect sacrifice of the Lord Jesus. You're introducing the promise, but the promise is fulfilled, and there's another promise. Everyone that believes it on Him has eternal life. So reintroducing the ceremonial law. Who did it? The false brethren. And I believe that the false brethren is the Roman Catholic Church today. Luther says the doctrines of the salvation of the ungodly by faith in Christ has not long been in the church. Even in the early church, not long. Paul wasn't even allowed to preach in Turkey anymore. They all forsook him for doctrine's grace. And if we are forsaken today, let's rejoice in the Savior. He was beaten in the house of his lovers. And we like it. We like to make a sacrifice. We like to give a penny in the buck. We like to buy with prayers. They always point to the mother of that old doctor in Libya. And she prayed for her son, and then they say, she prayed so many times. So they say, if you pray many times, you get it probably. That's not it, eh? Elijah bought only once, and it didn't rain for a year. And he prayed only once again, and it rained again. It's not how many times you pray, have your rosary. But if you pray by faith, knowing that God is God and that He's a rewarder of them that seek Him. Faith is not just putting out your angle, it is your rod to catch a fish. If you believe, you pray. And if you pray and have a true prayer, you believe. And otherwise you're rattling. And praying on chance ways. If you come to pray, see grace, know that God is God, almighty and merciful, righteous and good. And that He is a rewarder of them that seek Him. And now I speak to the children of God. Has He ever forsaken you? You have forsaken Him. That's another thing. Has He ever done thing what He promised and He didn't do it? Might take a bit to get it. But He never forsakes His own promises. He can't. He doesn't. Why does the Roman Catholic Church, but by nature we all, seek somewhere else our salvation? Now, in the Roman Catholic Church, Christ is preached as a judge to fear, but not as a Savior. They preach Him far away, but there are today Protestant churches, they preach Christ far away. They hardly even name His name. Perversion, man-centered. And if you preach Christ, they mock with you. Let them mock. They have mocked with Him. So, if you preach Christ far away, you seek a mediator between Christ and you. That's God's people. And you say, I can pray. Let God's people pray for me. And I'm not saying God's people shouldn't pray for you. But it's not heard because they pray. It's only heard when Christ prays for you. Take the golden vessel with all the prayers and bring them before the Father. Pray in His name. And everyone that praises His name, His Father hears him. No? Yes. But we always seek someone in between, a man. My father or my mother. The minister. The Pope. In every Roman Catholic church you find a kind of picture of the wedding in Cana. In every Roman Catholic church you find that picture. You know why? There they say Mary intervened between Christ and the bride and the bridegroom. So they say Mary intervenes in behalf of the Christians between Christ and you. Nonsense! He says, come unto me. I'll answer. Yeah, but I'm not converted. Come unto me if you're unconverted and ask for conversion. No one comes to me unless the Father draws him. Or, do you know what he says about you while you don't? You don't want to come. You don't want to come. It's an inner resistance. But in God, when God covers you or convicts you, He starts to draw you, begging for mercy and grace. And the tears and lamentation. And He will answer you. He will answer you. How do you know? I know. He says so. Everyone that cometh by grace, it's God's work. For you don't want my nature. I will send him away. Has he ever sent you away? He says, even to little children, let the children come unto me. And he laid his hands on them. Out here, spiritual little children were in need of the Jesus. Ah, but they don't know so much. If I only know his name. Rutherford says, if I only knew his name, and it was an exercise question, he says, I don't know so much about his name, what it means. I think that's a true Christian. Therefore, the Catechism continues. Explain Christ and His goodness, His person, and His offices. Well, congregation, there's no one to be sought nor found. So what I mean is this, and what the Bible says, and therefore I said, it's not a Savior, He is the Savior. It's not a moment, is not a Savior. It's a deceiver. Now, they know it, they hear it in the world, what you're saying. Okay. You should say it too. I'm not against Muslims. God is converting Muslims in Iran. I've seen converted Muslims in Malawi. You know, you remember when I was in that little mud church, a man stood next to me and I said, who are you? He said, I'm a missionary among the Muslims, a black man, Malawian. He said, but I went to Mecca. It was a very serious Muslim. But one night I dreamt that a man with a book would come and teach me the truth. I became miserable, he said. Very miserable. couldn't be satisfied with Muslim faith anymore. I went to a Christian church, but I went in my Muslim robe with my hat on, and I don't know what he had. He said, "Muslims are not welcome." He said, "They threw me out." Foolishness. But he came again and showed me in a vision that his only salvation was his name. And I bought a Bible. I read and found that precious Savior for my crying soul. He says, "And God made me a missionary among a tribe in Malawi who is Muslim." God normally works by his word, but he is mighty to do it for those who have not or are against this word. He is almighty. Like he revealed himself to Paul in condemnation and salvation, he is to do it and can do it today. So we shouldn't seek nor find. We can find salvation. Not with yourself. With your prayers. I'm not saying you shouldn't pray. Even not by the worth of your faith. People are looking into themselves if they have faith. Faith doesn't look into yourself. Faith looks outside of yourself. Faith is an outgoing act. It's a work of the Spirit by the Word of God given to your soul. Do we seek it? And I know when you're in the conviction, you want to be a goody-goody. Or being a sinner. You want to cry a lot. And think if God gives you cries a lot, then probably he will comfort you. Do you know when he comforts you? When you can't cry anymore and kept your mouth. When it's over. But you want to have a penny in the bank. And some works in your hands. My dear, he justifies the ungodly who doesn't work but believes in him who justifies the ungodly. God does it outside of you and your works, although he works in you. That work, says Paul in Philippians, will be finished on the day of Jesus Christ. But it's not your work. It's not even your seeking. It's his finding. Do you know where he found me? On the dunghill. He found me on the dunghill. In my total disaster and dirt. He has found me and took me on his shoulders and brought me home. My dear congregation, he seeks what can be seeken anymore. I am found by those who don't seek me. Listen, they have sought. But he came to the end of seeking. And there he found him. And brought that prodigal and that lost sheep home by grace alone. No works, no any other, not yourself, nor saint, nor church. Yeah, I'm with the good church, half converted. Wrong. Wrong. I'm under the truth. The truth even can condemn you.
you need Christ. And the only way you get him is by his own revelation. For you're blind. Unless he regenerates you to see the King of the Kingdom of God. But congregation, we start after grace even, we start again. We want to please God, do something, not live by fruits, but by works, listening to many sermons, or doing this, or doing that. I once said to the man who was just busy with religious works, I said, stop it, don't pray anymore. He said, I said, don't pray anymore. He didn't like it. I know why. He thought, if I pray much, then I get it. Probably you get it. Luther says you don't get it like this. He said you get him like this. Lost everything. Not worth to be saved anymore. And even if he wouldn't look at me anymore that day, I would praise him. It was 11th field. There he came and embraced the soul of his people by grace alone. Let's sing. 326, 1 and 2. 326, 1 and 2. Thy promised mercies sent to me, thy great salvation, Lord, so shall I answer those who scoff. My trust is in thy word. 1 and 2. 326. Almost dealt already with question 30, but I'm reading it. Do such then believe in Jesus, the only Savior, who seek their salvation and welfare of saints, of themselves, or anywhere else? They do not. For though they boast in him with words, yet indeed they deny Jesus, the only deliverer and Savior. For one of these things must be true, that either Jesus is not a complete Savior, or that they who by a true faith receive this Savior, receive this Savior, must find all things in him necessary to their salvation. So you might name the name of the Lord Jesus, but if he's not your all in all, and it's not true. They do not, for though they boast of him in words, yet in deeds act. That's a struggle. I think we are created to work. And the law is a part of our religion by nature. Fear is a strong power in hedonism. And by nature, even after grace, Paul addresses the Galatians for it. We want to have some input. We want to have some input. It doesn't matter what, but we want to have some input. I said some weeks ago, we want to make God a debtor. We pray and he should answer. You know, you pray, and if he doesn't answer you, what can you say? No, pastor, stop preaching like it. I'm not doing it. You know what he says sometimes to me? He says, you're a hypocrite. You're a blasphemer in your prayers. You don't even believe what you pray. Came a moment that I didn't even dare to pray anymore. But we want to have some influence. We do this and God answers that. I've sometimes said to children of God when they were in near and dear distress, stop praying. I said it before. No, pastor, I can't. Okay, you can't. Probably it's not praying anymore. No, it's crying. Crying. Have mercy upon me, the sinner. I don't call it a prayer anymore, Lord. We want to have some influence. We want to be fit for grace. The Arminian says, you can provide your own misery, knowing your own misery. That's the condition. And if you try to find your own misery, probably God will take care of you, for you are such a miserable man. No, you are a miserable man by sin, and God doesn't take care. Then he should take care of every miserable man. No, that's not something that binds you to grace. There are many people praying and preaching today that if I know my misery enough, I will have grace. If you know your misery, where are you ready for? For heaven? Hell. And you must agree with it. If grace is given to you, begging for mercy, that's it. Is there a way? And if we had got some grace, there we go. I'm the man who knows it. Listen to me. All worth nothing when you're. You? Man. I always had in my congregation some people of God, they were something in my grace. But do you know what the Bible says? If you are the highest, you are the lowest. If you know the most, you know the least. If you are near to me, you're the lowest on the stairs. Therefore, other sort says, I don't know his name. What can you tell about his name? His person. He knew it. If you read the letters of Rutherford out of the prison, what a glorious letters about the Lord Jesus, his bridegroom. He says, my shekels of copper are shekels of gold. I met him in my misery. But he didn't become a great Christian, a saint. He started to be a repenting sinner in need of forgiveness, in need of the full satisfaction, knowing it again, which is in Christ Jesus. God doesn't make big Christians. He makes small sinners, nothingness, that Christ might be there all in all. If he is your all, what are you then? If he is your all, what are you then? If you are his nothingness, he will be your all. No works, no conditions. Without pride and without money. And not water, but milk and wine. Oh, ye thirsty, drink of the wells. It's free. Yeah, but my convictions are not deep enough. They are never deep enough as a condition. They are never deep enough. I know, Paul says, you want to go down in hell to get him there. He says, no, he is not there. And you want to lift up yourself in heaven, and he is not there. He is near to you in your mouth and in the words, your heart. For with the heart you believe unto righteousness, and with the mouth you confess unto salvation. Do you know what I feel now? In myself and with you, inner resistance. For the gospel is not light by human natures. We like to be something, to do something, to have something, and then be prepared to get him. I read that book of Hermson. Sorry that I'm bringing it up now again. And Hermson said, that's the hour of love. I lost everything. And he is revealed to my soul as my all. You know. Do you want to have some more than Christ? If he has been your all in all, he satisfies the Father. And he satisfies your soul for salvation's sake. But you want some influence. You don't want to be an enemy to be saved. But God saves enemies. There comes a time in your spiritual life that if you have struggled that long that you say, I don't need it anymore. I don't need it anymore. And then he comes. But you're liking more of preaching that you're fit for it. And just fit for him. I tell you this, you're never fit for him, but he's fit for you. For he takes you from the dunghill with dirty clothes and a lost soul, and he says, my beloved one, I'll wash you, I'll cover you, and I'm your salvation, your all in all. And if you know him, you don't need someone or something extra. Then he is your full salvation. In him, says Paul, you are perfect. Even when I preach this, I hear the sound around us. Say, he preached the perfectness in Christ. Yes, I preach the perfectness in Christ. Right, you're right. Yeah, but we are a sinner. Yeah, you're a sinner. I said this morning, 100% grace and 100% sin. That's Romans 7. No, I like 50% grace and 50% sin. No, then there is something subtracted or given extra to it. He must be your all in all. And if he is not your all in all, he is nothing of you. He wants to be your all in all. And I'm speaking to the children of God. Has he made himself your all in all? He did, isn't it? And I can stand it. If you take his crown from his head, I can stand it. I better preach no more. If you want to add some works to his works and mix law and gospel, well, Jesus alone, my Savior, is. What a rest. What a love. When he kisses you on his both cheeks and he embraces you, he says, I'm your all in all. Oh, my nothingness. My, you know Abel, eh? Abel? Abel is Havel, eh? It's the son of Adam. And Havel means nothingness. Cain said, you're nothingness. But he got an all in all. That's a sacrificed lamb. And he got the testimony that he was righteous. Do you think Abel said, I need some works to add it? No. He didn't want to dishonor his God and his Savior. Resting on his shoulders alone. On his sacrifice alone. For time and eternity. Oh, my dear congregation. If he is not your all in all, you don't know him. You dishonor him. You diminish his work when he cried out, it is finished. You are perfect. Rejoice in the liberty by which I have set you free. And I'm not saying, I've said this before, it might take some time to come to the end of the rope, to fall from the stairs of good works, to be lost on your way to hell. But he'll find you. And he seeks while you can't seek anymore. And he finds when you think he never looks at me anymore forever. But that's not only once. Yeah, it's once for all. But in the exercise of faith, time and again, dying really that we might live by grace. And to him, that grace. May God bless his word. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, that's the wonder of all wonders. And heathens can be converted. And I mean, sin that dwells in me, and who shall deliver me from the body of sin? I thank God through Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ, he has and will deliver me of the body of sin in the cemetery that's warm, when I will be buried in the warm sepulchre of Jesus, to lay down all that I am, sin, depraved, without glory, and to be raised in glory, to the glory of the Father. O Lord, give us to know these things in experience, not only in doctrine, for the doctrine kills, although it's good to know. And some people think I know and they don't know a syllable of it. They know all the dogmatic books and read many sermons and heard them, but they don't know these things are strangers to God and to the souls. O Lord, find us. Seekers, please. And lay us on thy shoulders, bringing us home, please. We ask it. Remember us next week in our labors, but that we won't labor for the things that pass away. Thou hast said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and I'll give you labor, a house to live, food to eat, clothes and raiment, extra for your mind. And the gold is mine, and the animals are mine, and the farms are mine, and all the world is mine. And I'll know you to feed more than the birds and the fowls of the air. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's lastly sing 427, 5 and 6, 427, 5 and 6. Stone that the builders, yeah, you have it, eh? You want to build your own religion, yeah. Stone that the builders had rejected and in contempt refused to own, to their dismay, has been selected to be the foremost cornerstone. 5 and 6, 427.
that you may go home in peace, receiving the blessings of the living God, the love of God the Father, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the communion with the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.